Last week, Dawn produced an amazing sermon all about anchors and Jesus being our anchor, which was truly inspiring, and particularly if you like anchors, which was really good. We learned a lot about anchors last week. Sermon number two is this week, also from the book of Hebrews. How Jesus is going to continue to be our anchor through the storms of life. But today, almost in contrast to what Dawn was talking about, the verse that Dawn had, we're going to consider from our reading how to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. How to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And we can enter them. We can enter God's holy places. Hebrews states that that is a certainty. But what are the holy places, and why does the blood of Jesus allow us entry? Let's take a step back. Let's take a look at God, who is the keeper of these holy places. Maureen and I have just spent 2 weeks in the French Alps. She's gone out with the kids, so she's not going to be embarrassed now. And we lived at 2,000 metres for 2 weeks, which is quite high. And we walked at 3,000 metres quite often, which is quite high. So I've had a lot of altitude training in the last 2 weeks. And the mountains are immense, absolutely immense. But God is more immense. During our time in the Alps, I often sat on the balcony thing that we had and looked out at the Alps, these huge mountains, this view before me. I was able to pray to God with that view in the morning. Our God made these amazing mountains. Our God made this amazing earth. Our God made our amazing universe 96 billion light years across. Our God is humongous. I became amazed at what small specks of existence we truly are. We are small, even compared to a French mountain, which is just massive. And yet God, who is absolutely amazingly huge, chooses to see us, small specks of existence, to recognize us. He chooses to love us. He chooses to call us by name. Our God is the keeper of all the holy places. They exist nowhere else than in his presence. And our God chooses to give us access to his presence. Isn't that amazing? Our God chooses to give us access to the heart of his holiness, which is incredible. How wow is that? Incredible, isn't it? Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Just testing, see if you know. It is incredible. Our God chooses to give us access to his presence because of what his son Jesus did on the cross. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus and the blood shed for us. In our passage from Hebrews, we are told that we can enter into God's presence, into the holy places, by the new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. The flesh Hebrews is referring to is, of course, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But what about all the stuff about the curtain? You know, Hebrews is definitely a book which is full of difficult concepts and difficult analogies. And this is because it was originally written in Hebrew and translated in the New Testament for us into Greek. And in the style of Luke's Greek, possibly, and possibly a guy called Clement of Alexandria. So somebody translated Hebrews into Greek for us. But as Hebrews was written for Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians, it's often referring back to Jewish law and Jewish temple practices. And at the same time, it's showing how Jesus surpassed all those Jewish temple practices and all that law stuff that the Jews attached to it, that they built on the edifice of the Torah. So this curtain stuff is all about the huge curtain that used to hang in the temple between the temple and the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, dividing off the Holy of Holies. And this curtain made sure that no one could enter or even look on God's presence. It was 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 1 inch at least thick. This is the very same curtain that was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross. At the moment of his death, the temple curtain was torn in two. At that moment of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, access to the presence of God was no longer through the temple curtain. Access to God was now through the sacrifice of Jesus. And this access to God was no longer in a temple made of stone, but was a new and living access, as Hebrews tells us. This temple is now in heaven. This temple was God's immediate presence. This temple was God himself. The risen Jesus has become the way into the presence of God. The way, the road to God was now a road of life and not a road of dead stone. That's what Hebrews is telling us. The way to God is through Jesus and is a way of life. We have a great high priest over the house of God, we are told in Hebrews. Let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Draw near. Jesus has become our high priest. And in the days of the temple in Jerusalem, the only way to access God was once a year, when the high priest entered alone behind the huge temple curtain on the Day of Atonement, with a rope tied round his ankle in case he had to be dragged out. No one else could go in. Hebrews tells us now that the access to God's presence is through Jesus alone. Jesus has become our high priest. And because of this, we can draw near to God. We can be fully certain our faith is that we can come through Jesus to God the Father at any and all times. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't have to be in a church, don't have to be in a temple, at all times you can come close to God through Jesus. We can come right into God's holy presence, as if we had gone into the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. Right into God's holy presence. There's no curtain, there's no anything else getting in the way if we go through Jesus. How fantastic is that? Isn't that fantastic?
Yes,
it is. Yes, it is. Hebrews also tells us that our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Again, Hebrews is doing what it does all the way through. It's looking back to Jewish temple practices, where the priests had to bathe themselves in big swimming pool-like baths filled with fresh running water, known as the mikvah. And they used to have them in the temple on the second layer down, which is all gone now, of course. But on the Temple Mount, they used to have these big baths of water. Only when they'd been through the bath could they take part in any duties in the temple. They walked down the steps into the bath and up the other side through the water. But we have been washed with living water. It's what Hebrews is telling us. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has elevated everything. No longer is the sacrifice of animals in the temple required to cleanse us from sin. No longer is a great big bath required to get washed in before you can come into God's presence. Jesus' death on the cross has done it once and for all. And in him, only in him, are we set free from our sin and cleansed to enter God's presence. Hebrews then goes on to challenge us to hold firm to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. It seems that some of the Jewish Christians that the Hebrews was written to were considering abandoning their trust in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and harking back to the temple sacrifices. They and we are encouraged by Hebrews to hold firm to our faith and hope in Jesus, because Jesus is more than capable of delivering all his promises. Jesus is totally faithful. His forgiveness of our sin is absolute. And his offer of new life in God's presence is always, and it is for now. Our faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's an interesting Hebrews statement. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Christian hope is not like the hope of the world, a longing for something that may happen, a longing to win the lottery in whatever sphere of life we're in, wherever our lottery is. Our hope as Christians is a belief in certainty, a knowledge that what Jesus has done on the cross has set us free and has propelled us into the very presence of God. Hebrews tells us that our certainty in our place in God's heart should cause us to consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. So our certainty in Jesus, our belief in Jesus, our going into the presence of God should stir us up, get each other to greater love and more good works. Our faith and hope in Jesus should not be a passive thing. In other words, it should cause us to share God's presence amongst us, with one another, and with those who don't know Jesus yet. We should be so enlivened by Jesus that we should be encouraging each other to greater love and more good works. It should be active, an active love. We should be encouraging each other to be more like Jesus, to become greater sharers of God's presence and God's holiness in us. All this is why we are encouraged by Hebrews not to neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some. Obviously, some of the Hebrew Christians were not meeting as regularly as they should have been, according to the writer who wrote this. And the body of Christ must function as one, not only in the gathering for worship, but in the gathering to encourage one another to greater love and more good works. It's hard to act as a body of Christ if we are not working together for the kingdom, and if we do not meet with others who are in the body. How can we be encouraged in our faith and in our love? Anyway, why would we not want to meet together? Because that is where Jesus is to be found more strongly amongst us, and God's presence is strengthened. So, let us be determined to take full advantage of the victory of Jesus on the cross, to determinedly seek out God's presence and holiness, to absorb as much of heaven, if you like, into our souls as is possible, because only then will we truly shine with faith and love amongst each other and out in the world. As Dawn assured us last week, we are anchored in the very presence and holiness of God. Amen.